All right, let's get ready to go with it tonight. Already excited about this service. I was looking down the middle aisle there, and I believe I saw Brother Howard and Sister Peggy trying to fight each other with their fists. I saw them doing this. And I always said, bless God, we'll have revival or a ride. It don't matter to me. It looks like we're going to have a ride. Amen. No, we don't want none of that tonight. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out and turn to the book of Job, and I want you to turn to Job chapter 42. I want you to turn to Job chapter 42 right there as you get to the end of the book of Job. And let's stand. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 and 9. Job chapter 42, beginning with verse number 7. Go right to the end of the book. Job 42, 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken to me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up before yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. What I want to preach on tonight is this subject: right, but wrong. You'll see what we mean, what I mean by this as we get into this, but we're going to get a real good practical truth out of the book of Job here tonight. I believe it'll help us if we get a hold of it. Now, Brother Mark Brantley, would you pray for this tonight? We'll all be seated. Yes, amen. Amen. Please, Lord, amen. Yes. Amen, amen. Yes, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Thank you. All right, you can be seated tonight. I believe probably most everyone here tonight is familiar with the book of Job. Now, doctrinally, when you look at the book of Job, this book is dealing with the suffering of Israel in the tribulation period. That's what this is doctrinally. You see it all through it. Historically, most of you already know this, is about a man named Job that the Lord turned the devil loose on him. And he went through some hard, hard times, didn't he? Practically or devotionally, it applies to the suffering of the righteous. The main theme or the question when you look at it devotionally in the book of Job is, why do the righteous suffer? Which is a question we all ask at times, isn't it? But now we went to the end of the book. That's where we didn't start at the beginning. We didn't get in the middle. We went to the end of the book tonight. And we read where God rebukes Job's three friends for all the mouth running they did against their buddy Job when he was going through the most unbelievable suffering a man can go through. How about that for you, friends? As a matter of fact, when Job is talking to his friends, he says, you're miserable comforters. You're supposed to be good comfort to your friends when they have the bottom drop out from a man. And then, well, friends like that, who needs enemies? Right. He says, you're miserable comforters. But what I want to bring to your attention tonight, and I want you to stay with me and get a hold of this, because as I went through the book of Job again here just recently, the Lord showed me something. And I believe it's something that can help all of us if we get a hold of this point. When you look at this thing from chapters 3 to 31, if you pay attention in the book of Job from chapters 3 to 31, it is all that is the accusation of Job's friend and Job's rebuttal to their argument. Job says his thing, and then they say their thing. And they jump on Job, and Job defends himself. It's back and forth. All those chapters, that's all that's going on. Now listen to me now. The thing I want you to get a hold of out of this message tonight, and the thing I want to preach it, I believe it'll help us if we get a hold of it, is that a lot of times, not all the time, several times that we're not right at all, but many times, those things that those three men said to Job were right. They said some things that were doctrinally correct. They said some things that were correct. Every single thing they said to Job wasn't wrong. Now, God gets on them because he says there at the end, and we just read it, I didn't instruct you to go to Job and say all that stuff. You were out of place. But listen, they were right, but they were wrong. They had some truth,
But they were wrong. You go back and you look at it sometimes. You look at it starting there about chapter 3 and go on to chapter 31, and you look at that discourse. You're going to find there are several things these three men said that was right. But they were wrong. You say, what do you mean? I'm going to show you what I mean. We can be right and we can be wrong. And we need to watch that and be careful. I'm going to give you three ways. Every one of us in here can have some truth, but be wrong in how we deal with that truth and how we confront people with that truth. Number one, here we go tonight. First of all, you can be right, but it's the wrong timing. You can be right, but it's the wrong timing. Proverbs 25:11 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It says a word fitly spoken. It's a word that's got to fit. There's a right timing for it. If you come in and you heard a loud boom go off in your house, and you come in and your teenager's got a bleeding foot with a bullet hole through it, you don't jump on them right then and say, didn't I tell you not to play with that pistol? Didn't I tell you to keep your hands off that pistol? Didn't I tell you not to touch that thing? That ain't the time to lecture them, man. That's bad timing. It's time to go to the emergency room. You can lecture them about the pistol. You can put them on restriction. You can do whatever you want to after you get the bleeding stopped. It's not just medical triage. Sometimes it's spiritual triage. You got to figure out who's the most wounded and what's the most important to take care of it. Now listen, sometimes you and I can have the truth. We can be 100% right about what we're saying or who we're confronting or who we're talking to. We can be 100% right, but the timing's all wrong. The Holy Spirit ain't within a million miles of it. We have to keep our mouth shut. Do you realize that many times when you give the truth out to somebody, you can have the truth, but if you don't have the timing, you'll wind up doing more harm than good. If the Holy Spirit ain't setting it up, if He ain't bearing witness to it. Time is important. I believe timing is just as important as truth in many ways. Just as important because the truth is going to be ineffective if you don't get the timing right. You have to pray about this stuff. I work on sermons all the time. There's sometimes at camp. Yesterday morning, I preached a message, a little 10-minute message there at camp. Do you know what? God gave me that message probably about 10 or 12 years ago, and I've never preached it nowhere. And preached it at camp. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. He just gave it to me. I wrote it down, stuck it in a file with about 500,000 other stuff, and it just stayed there. And when I was going to camp, I was praying about, Lord, if a fellow asked me to preach, what am I going to preach? He said, carry that. I carried that and preached it. It's about timing. Listen, I'm constantly working on messages. I'm constantly scrabbling things down and got notes here and folders with this here and folders with that in there. And I got all kind of stuff. And there's things I'm thinking, man, God's given me a good message. This is good. This is good. I want to preach it. No. It ain't time to preach it. You preach it when I tell you to, on the night that I tell you to, or the day I tell you to, or when I tell you to. You get the timing right. Do you know what I pray about when I preach? I not only pray about what message to preach, I pray about when to preach it, and I pray about what spirit to preach it in. You might not believe this or not, but sometimes the Lord wants you to be a little rough. Sometimes He wants you to be a little sarcastic. You can find sarcasm in the Bible. Sometimes He wants you to back off and be gentle to Him tonight. Go in there and have a broken spirit. Don't you go in there running your mouth and shooting your mouth off and getting all rough tonight. It's not time for that. Then He'll say, go get him. Go get him. No mercy. And He'll say, next time, go in there and give them mercy. Give them mercy. They need the balm of Gilead. They need some salve. And then He'll tell you, sitting in there the next time, and said, tear the store up where they're going to need some more salve. It's timing. You've got to get timing. You've got to get your timing down. Listen, at this time in his life, no matter, and I know Job, God was doing a work on Job, okay? He was questioning God, and he was accusing God in some ways maybe he shouldn't have, and said, I wanted a voice with God, and there were some things he didn't understand was going on behind the scenes. He still was the best man on the earth at that time. The Bible said that, so don't judge him too harshly. None of us would have come close to faring as good as well as Job did in that. But he has some self-righteousness, and there's some things that God had to deal with him about. But that didn't matter. It was not time to deal with Job about that stuff. He needed his friends to sit down. Even if they could point their finger at something he was doing wrong, which they couldn't, but even if they could, it was not time for a rebuke. It was not time to jump on them. They might have had the truth, but they didn't have the timing. That was the time to comfort them. That was the time to encourage them. That was the time to sit down there and cry with them rather than jump on them. You got to get your timing right. You may have complete truth about something somebody's doing, some issue, something you want to just reach out and just instruct somebody about. I understand that. I get that stuff built up in me too. I'm a preacher. But if the timing's wrong, you'll mess the whole thing up. And you have to figure out, I might be right about this, but the timing is not right. Timing is the main thing in a lot of the stuff in soul winning. You want to get at the right house at the right time when the Holy Spirit's dealing with the right person. Timing to mess you up. I remember one time, not this last church I pastored, but the other one before, many, many years ago, we went soul winning, and we went in a pretty nice-looking neighborhood down there from where I'm from. And we walked up on the porch. As soon as I stepped up on the porch and rung the doorbell, I looked down and had paint on my feet. This lady, she was sort of a highfalutin. You know, I was raised out in the country poor, so this, you could tell this lady was, she had some money and they had some stuff. She come to that door and looked at us and looked down. They had just painted their porch. They didn't have a sign out there. Needless to say, that visit didn't go very well. That was what you call horrible timing. You didn't care about my pitch. Well, I'm from so-and-so Baptist church. We want you to get out of here, you blankety paints. Timing means a lot. You may have the truth, but you better have God's timing. If you don't have God's timing, you can do way more damage than you can do good. That's what I'm thinking about. Some of you have parents. Like my dad, I think about him. Some of you have children or whatever. Don't let emotion get a hold of you and anger or whatever get a hold of you and you go in there and just blah, 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 blah. And God ain't in it. You can run them off. You pray about when you want me to give them the gospel. When do you want me to talk with them about their soul? When, set the thing up. Give me the green light. Don't let me go until you give me the green light. I've got the truth. Okay, I know something they don't. Okay, I know what's right and they don't. Okay, but you got to get the timing. If you don't, you'll mess it up. Number two, you can be right but have the wrong spirit. Be right and have the wrong spirit. Right, you can be right and have the wrong time. You can be right and have the wrong spirit. You know, you can have the spirit of anger. Some people have the spirit of anger. I'm just mad, so I want to jump on you with the truth. I think y'all think I'm a lot madder than I usually am. I'm really not that mad. I'm mad with the devil and I'm mad about sin. And I get riled up about righteousness and unrighteousness and I think a preacher ought to. If a preacher don't get mad every once in a while, I'd fire him. I wouldn't go to no church and set up under no preacher every time he's up there. He's just smiling and grinning like a possum eating briars and it's just, oh, everything ain't fine. This world's full of hell. People's dying and going to hell. We're a bunch of sinners. We're a bunch of wicked people. We need the hell preached out of us regularly. Amen. But I'm not near as bad as you think I am. That's just the way I grew up. We talk real plain in an old family. We're just real candid. There just ain't no soft soaping it and just easing around, skirting around the issue. Here it is, man. The way I look at it, like Dr. Upman always looked at it, if you want it, I'm going to give it to you and you'll do whatever you got to get to do to get it. And if you don't want it, it don't matter if I make it nice and sweet to you, you ain't going to get it anyway. Amen. You know why some people, they're right but they got the wrong spirit. They just want to prove to somebody else they know what they're talking about. You know what that is sometimes? You can be right about something but your spirit's totally wrong. You just want to let them know that you know something. You want to let them know that you know more than them. You want to let them know that you can instruct them. You want to let them know that and prove to them that I'm the one that's right and you're the one that's wrong. Don't ever get so concerned about being right when you're wanting to be right for the wrong reason. Some of you like that. You know what that Bible says about fussing and fighting? It says, only by pride comes contention. Every time you have a fuss, married couple, it's pride in one or both of you. That's the only reason you fuss. That's the only reason a church split. That's the only reason there's anarchy in the church and people rise up and they fuss and fight and run each other off. That's the only reason why you and your wife fuss all the time. Amen, amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Because there's pride involved. You can be 100% right, but your spirit ain't right. You're just wanting to be right for the sake of being right and winning the argument. And saying, ha ha, see, I told you I knew more than you did. Amen. Some of you's like that. That's wrong. You're right, but you're wrong. You can be right, but wrong. Have the wrong spirit. Wrong motive. You just have the wrong motive. You do it just to make you look good. You know why people talk about folks a lot? They talk about folks a lot and put people down because they think it makes them look better. Let me tell you, if you're one of them kind of people that every time you used to walk up in the crowd, there's one person there just running their mouth and putting everybody down. If you're that person here tonight and you say, I don't know that person, then you're probably that person. But if you're that person tonight, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something I've learned. Now I know what I'm talking about. You ready? You ready? When you walk off, Mr. Mouth Runner, then they're doing it about you. All these people you thought, yeah, man, I'm important. I've got the news. I'm in the know. I can tell you all the bad thing about everybody. They listen to you and you run your mouth 90 miles an hour. And yes. Oh, yeah. You feel so good when you leave. Then they're running their mouth about you. About how stupid you are. And about how you think you know everything. You can be right and have the wrong spirit. Sometimes you just be right, but you just want to manipulate somebody. When you desire judgment and not mercy, you got the wrong spirit. You can be right about what they've done, what they've said, how they've acted, but in your heart, why you're wanting to bring it on them is you want to make them get judgment. I want them to get what's coming to them. You've got the wrong spirit. You ought to give a fellow truth so he can get mercy. You ought to give a fellow truth so he can get help, not judgment. There's something wrong with a Christian that's always wanting everybody else to get what's coming to them and you don't want to get what's coming to you. There's something wrong with you. I mean, let's just be fair about it, huh? Let's just be fair about it. If we're so quick to make sure everybody gets vengeance, then let's make sure they get vengeance on us. If everybody needs to get what's coming to them, then let's raise our hand and say, God, make sure you give me what's coming to me. Because you're just as big of a sinner as they are. That's exactly right. This means yes. And this means you don't know what you're talking about. Every one of us in here deserves hell. Every one of us in here deserves judgment. We've all sinned and come short, very short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. We've all gone astray. We're wicked. People say, I want judgment. I want mercy. Justice. That's what I'm trying to say. People say, I want justice. I want justice. I just want justice. My friends, I don't want justice when it comes to God. I want mercy. So you can be right, but you have the wrong timing. You can be right, but you've got the wrong spirit. And number three, you can be right, but you've got the wrong assessment. You know what they did? They come to Job and they just assumed. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible calls it evil surmising. They just assumed they knew all about what was going on in his life. They just assumed, they said, Job, man, knock it off, Job. You confess up. You better confess up. Tell us what you've done. You've done some kind of great wickedness. There ain't no way in the world all this can be happening. All this to happen to just one man. You must be wicked as a devil. Confess it, confess it, confess it. And they were sure of it. The problem was, listen now, they had truth, but they made the wrong assessment. They were evil surmising. You say, what are you talking about? Well, of course, they assumed Job was being punished for sin. But this is what they do, and sometimes you do that. They took some general truths from the Word, or general truths they had about God, rather, at that time. We would, in our day and time, would take general truths we have from the Word of God, and they make a personal application with it. For an example, you go up and you say, everybody's going to die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's once appointed a man to die, and after this, the judgment. Yes, that's true, but there are some people that's not going to die. Those that are raptured out of here are not going to die. Enoch was a type of a raptured saint in the Bible. He didn't die. God took him. Is that, no, that's not a mistake in the Bible. That's the truth in the Bible. It's once appointed unto a man to die, and after this the judgment. But that's a general truth. It's a general truth. But there are going to be some people left here on the earth when the rapture takes place that's not going to die. There's another way people will take a truth and mess it up. They'll say this. They'll say, okay, well, you know what the Bible says. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, be not deceived. I'm getting it mixed up. Be not deceived. Yeah, but I was wanting to get the other part of it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what you'll do is you'll say, I know that verse is in there. I know what that scripture says. So when I see somebody, like what they did, they see Job, and they say, he's guilty. He's guilty. He's guilty. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. Now, is that a truth in the Bible? It's absolutely a truth. But what you've done is you made the wrong assessment. Now listen to me. You made the wrong assessment with that truth. You've taken that truth in the Bible, which is the truth, but you've naturally assumed that you know why this man's going through this. You're saying he's reaping. Is it true that people reap from the bad lives they live? Absolutely. But they made the wrong assessment with that truth. He just assumed that Job was reaping for a bad life he lived when he wasn't. You see how people do that? So you can be, listen, you can be right in the truth that you have, but you've just made a false assessment. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yes, that's very true. But when you look at a fellow going through hard times, you don't know if he's reaping for sin or not. Only God knows that. So you have the truth about that principle in Scripture. You have the proof about what the Bible says, but you made a wrong assessment with it. Do you know what happened with some of these statements? They said, these three men, when you read over there, that they said about sin and about God and stuff like that, it was absolutely true. But they were wrong because they applied it in a way they had no knowledge of. You and I don't know why people are going through what they're going through tonight. We have no idea. And if you're so quick to think everybody that is doing bad, and that's why, you know, that naturally must be why they're going through what they're going through, then you better understand that maybe some of what we go through is because we do bad. Why don't we ever think that? I never hear anybody say, I know why I'm going through all this stuff. It's because I'm just such a wicked sinner. Nobody ever says that. You go, Lord, I just don't know why I'm going through all this. You see somebody else going through something, you go, he's wicked. He's got to be wicked. You got to be wicked to go through all that. You got the truth about some things, but you make the wrong assessment. Now, in conclusion, I want to wrap all this up. I want you to listen to me very carefully here tonight. I've explained to you from this book how you can be right and wrong. We really have to be careful when we deal with the lost, when we deal with backslidden Christians, when we deal with the suffering, people that are suffering, when we deal with those that are in a trial or a struggle. Listen to me tonight. Please, don't leave here and not get this. You may have the right knowledge of the Bible, but you better have the right spirit before you confront somebody. You hear me? You might have the scriptures. You might know exactly what you're talking about, but you better have the right spirit before you confront somebody. You had better pray that God shows you the right timing, or you can do more harm than good. It's timing, timing, timing. We have to beware of imparting Bible knowledge or rebuking someone with a general truth from the Bible when you don't know the whole story and you don't know the man's heart. That's evil surmising. The Bible calls that surmising evil. You're making up stories and you're thinking about something in your mind about somebody and you're talking about somebody and you don't even know what you're talking about. And you're falsely accusing these people. That's what everybody thought with Job. That's why they all didn't want to have nothing to do with him. That's why they all, you know, his wife says, just curse God and die, and everybody's leaving them. They all had it figured out. And that none of them, including Job, know what in the world was going on. They had no idea that there was something going on up in heaven that was causing this down here, and it had nothing to do with that man's sin. Actually, it had to do with because he was so righteous. And God said, have you tried my man Job? He can handle it. And they're running their mouth. They've made the wrong assessment, just like some of you good old Baptists do. You can be right. You can be right, but your spirit's wrong. You can have the truth, but a bad spirit. You can be right, but your timing's off. You're trying to make something happen that God ain't in. And you can be right, but your assessment is wrong. You're trying to figure out something only God knows. You need to be careful about that. Now, that's something important we learn from this story here tonight. And I want to say this as I close here tonight. Don't ever, please listen to me, don't ever, ever, ever want to be right just so you can say you're right and somebody else is wrong. We want to be right so we can help others and please God. Amen? All right, every head bowed and eye closed. We'll have an invitation here tonight.